Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in YouTube is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This Week in YouTube, episode 18, recorded August 12th, 2013. Get paid more on YouTube. This Week in YouTube is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 1 million high-quality video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use offer code TWIYT8. And by ProXVN. ProXVN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymous and unfiltered. For 20% off your new account, go to proxvn.com/twit and use the code TWIYT. Hello and welcome to This Week in YouTube. I'm Chad Johnson. This is the show where we discuss everything YouTube. We get into the news, we get into the videos, we get into the topics. And, of course, every week we have Lamar Wilson. How you doing, our host?
I'm doing great, Chad. You know, this voice is really coming along.
Yeah, man, you sound so much better than last week. Yeah. You've really improved.
It's really improved.
Yeah.
Hold on one second. Oh, good, I'm back.
Oh, did a squirrel just fall out of your mouth? That was weird.
Yeah, it was a
anyway.
Turtle.
How you doing?
It's still a little scratchy.
I can tell that you are still healing from the VidCon experience.
Yeah.
And most
definitely.
And we said, even in this episode, we still have news from VidCon.
I hope it doesn't get worse because of that.
It's like, contagious. That's what happens when we talk
about
it.
There was a VidCon virus that went around that all the kids got hit, and I said, that's what they get for having those naughty parties.
Every time you say the name VidCon, it's like Voldemort. It seeps more and more into the system. So
that's how it works.
Yeah, we may have to cut down a little bit. But this week, we have an amazing guest. Amy is here from Savvy Sexy Social. You have an awesome blog, SavvySexySocial.com, and of course, the YouTube channel and the Twitter and everything. Let us know if people aren't familiar with you, what do you do? Give them a short rundown on some of the stuff you cover.
The short rundown is I help brands show off their amazing personality online. I make video talking about social media for marketing and for customer service, in addition to just some best business practices. So it gets really fun. Lots of good info for all size businesses, but definitely geared toward micro and small.
Perfect. And of course, if you are a YouTuber, you may not know it, but you kind of are your own business. You are your own brand. Yeah. And so this is awesome to listen to and watch. I was just recently looking at your DSLR tips, and it was just like, love it. I just bought a DSLR. Like, teach me. This is great.
Isn't that awesome? I've been avoiding it, and I was like, Austin, tell me what I need to know, and he made this great video with me, and so now I got to learn something in that episode and teach other people, and I'm going to watch that video a million times when I buy a camera. So,
cool. How long have you been doing the YouTube thing?
I've been on YouTube for a long time. I don't know why. I just knew early on to upload my videos to YouTube. I just started liking the editing process and filming my friends and stuff. And it just kind of happened that way. It wasn't like a strategy like, oh, this YouTube thing's going to be a thing. So I just uploaded all my videos there, probably 2008. And it's been so fun ever since. I have the Schmitastic channel, which has been around for a long time, and it's been all like personal vlogging. But when I started Savvy Sexy Social and was working for myself in social media marketing, I was like, you know what? I need to bring these two worlds together because that's how I'm going to stand out. There's a lot of people talking about social media marketing. So if I can make killer video and deliver the message that way, then I think I'll do okay.
That's awesome. Now, how long have you been a blogger? Because that's definitely a different world from YouTube.
Yeah, right. My mom was actually a tech teacher. We had a computer in my house for, ever since I can remember, definitely at least a grade school, middle school, whenever GeoCities was a thing. I've been a blogger for a long time.
adding those line breaks manually. That's awesome.
Yes.
Cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, what is social to you? Because, you know, that's part of your name. That's part of what you teach. But how would you define social?
I feel like social is... we all say in the marketing space sort of the fundamental shift of how we communicate. And it's so true. But I think that the most important thing is that people think it's the end all be all in some cases. And that's definitely not true. Mm. Social media can certainly start a conversation. You can join a conversation and continue a conversation. But you have to have real life experiences. Even if that means a Skype conversation like this, social media is not everything. But it's certainly a great place to keep the relationship nurtured. Depending on who that is, it really doesn't matter. It's a great place for that.
Hmm. And why did you decide to go the blog route to really kind of wrap all of your content around an extra blog? Did you find that help from the very beginning?
Yeah, I think every blog really needs to be specific about its niche. I actually just made a video I'm publishing tomorrow about really choosing your niche. And for something to be successful, you really have to niche as much as possible. So the blog was really important because I couldn't have all these different blogs, one of them being personal, one of them being professional, and have them mush together. It didn't make any sense because the Schmatastic channel attracts very different viewers than Savvy Sexy Social. So separating them was important. And having a website is so important. You can't just depend on other people's online real estate. And we're definitely going to get into this today as we talk about YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so important to have your own website. And it's so important to get people to realize that that is where they should really be connecting with you. And that's your home base. Because otherwise, you could lose them at the drop of a social network.
Right, right. And do you worry a lot about that, about what happens to the future of whatever platforms we build on?
I think I don't worry about it. Right. I think if I was cut off from Twitter, I'd be super duper sad. Same with YouTube. If YouTube was gone, I would be pretty freaking sad. But it's not something you can really worry about because everybody just kind of moves together or they don't move at all. Like we said, the Facebook and Google+, everybody thinks they're in competition, but the reality is you use these networks for different reasons. And if all your friends and family are on Facebook, that's why you go there. If you're looking for more niche information and tech and meeting new people, then maybe you like Google+. So I don't really worry about a social network coming to its demise. I more just worry about where my audience is going to go and just following suit.
Cool. And then yes. Go ahead, Lamar.
Oh, I was going to ask you your question, actually.
Oh.
So we were wondering, can social be automated? You know, so many of these social media experts, you know, they'll you know, post one place and it goes everywhere. And it's like, you know, it's that automated world. Is that genuine? Do people see that that's...
There's so much argument in this. Yeah. When you use the word automated, you know, it makes everybody say, oh my gosh, well, this isn't even social if you're not even going to be there when you do it. But the reality is, come on, like, this is something that we have to have turned on 24 hours a day, and we have to be prepared to respond to at any given moment. Now, maybe that's not feasible for some businesses and they set hours and that's great, but it's still there and operating. So automating stuff makes sense because if you, even if a social media manager full-time, they need to schedule some things to go out because they also need to be tracking keywords and following conversations and seeing if their company's being mentioned so that they can respond to that accordingly. So automation is certainly a thing. I personally prefer Buffer app. It is by far my favorite tool to automate. It works for a lot of different social networks, and I love it. The key, though, to remember is you can automate, but don't automate to one social network and have it copy everywhere else. If you don't treat each social network like they are different, the people who you are not actually respecting on those other copied social networks are not going to care what you had to say. Think about it. People write their life story on Facebook. If you copy that to Twitter, you didn't get to your point in 140 characters. And not to mention, it's really only 120 before they include a Facebook link, and Twitter people are like, a Facebook link? No thanks, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know, you could do the 1 out of 64 tweets, you know, just anyway. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Okay, so what I wanted to talk about was Buffer app, because that was a great tip. And I just wanted to mention, if you're unfamiliar with Buffer, what you do is you send your tweets to Buffer and then it will buffer them. And so they'll come out at a specific time that most people are actually using Twitter. So if you if you're in the U.S., you know, 4 p.m. is a really great time to send out your tweets. So if you are a YouTube creator, go ahead and check out Buffer app, because I really think that that's a great suggestion.
Yeah, and it doesn't just, I'm sorry, I was just going to say, it doesn't just go out when it's ideal, but you can actually set up all the different times. And they even set it now where it's not just default. You can schedule things out longer term, which is why I was keeping Hootsuite in my back pocket, because if you have to schedule something out, a larger campaign, Buffer app wasn't there for you, but now Buffer app is adjusted to that. So definitely a great tool. Sorry to interrupt you.
Thank you. Cool. I wanted to know that. Do you see stuff that YouTubers are doing wrong in social very often?
I wouldn't say. Honestly, YouTubers are the best case scenario. They completely understand how important their audience is to what they're doing, and so they are very much engaged in that conversation. I will say that there are definitely YouTubers where they get to a point where they feel really overwhelmed because they went viral or whatever happens. They get to a certain size audience and they're like, I just can't handle it anymore. These people are tweeting me. I might read a couple things, but they lose sight of how important it is to continue to talk to these people. And you can't talk to everyone, and that's certainly not expected of you. But to really set that as a priority is very important, because the fact of the matter is the amount of time that you spend creating content, and a lot of people would argue with me about this, the amount of time you spend creating content is probably a third of the amount of time that you're supposed to be spent marketing it. So if you're not responding to your audience, at the very least, you're not doing anything to promote your content. So that is not, I don't think, a huge percentage of YouTube. The other side of that is the comment section. That's at very least for a social network you should be.
I want to interrupt. This might be a great tip for later on in the show.
Okay.
So let's just package it up.
Build up.
Yeah, that is what we call a teaser and a cliffhanger, folks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So while we pay some bills.
Right. Absolutely.
Stay tuned.
This episode of This Week in YouTube is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. Shutterstock.com was the place that you will find your next perfect image or piece of video to add to your creative project. This is the perfect sponsor for This Week in YouTube. You can choose from over 1 million high-quality stock video clips in 2D, 3D, animated, or motion graphics. Shutterstock sources these video clips from around the world and puts them at your fingertips. And they have great, sophisticated search tools, so you can search, drill down by category, resolution, contributor, and more. You can try Shutterstock today by signing up for a free account. No credit card needed. Just start an account. Begin using Shutterstock to help you imagine what your next project could be like. And save your videos to video selections you find to your clip box. Once you decide to purchase, you can use the offer code TWIYT8 for a new account and receive 30% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com for 30% off new accounts. Use TWIYT8. And we thank Shutterstock for their support of This Week in YouTube. Thank you guys for helping us out.
Very much. I want a free account.
Shutterstock is seriously the best sponsor
I love that site. I love that site.
I teased it earlier in the show. I keep interrupting everyone on this show. I teased it earlier. There's a little bit more news that has come out at VidCon. Jason Calacanis did a business panel at VidCon, and he had some really interesting things to say. Tell me about it, Lamar.
Yeah, so, and here's the thing. At first, when I heard about Jason Calacanis getting into this YouTube thing, I was like, oh, here's just another bigwig investor who doesn't know the space. But actually, he ran about 10 Google-funded channels that, you know, a few of them did quite well for the first year. And I guess he made news because he chose to not take Google's funding, and that raised some eyebrows. Like, why wouldn't you take this free money? And his main concern is that YouTube split is unfair. Currently, the creator averages, this is, I mean, it's a fact, but he has to say average. YouTube takes 45% and a creator takes 55%, which in his eyes seems very unfair. It's like, you know, if you had a big, you know, production cost and you had a sales manager and all these other factors, that you would always be in the red when you're trying to do a production. So, you know, while he was talking, I found his talk very fascinating.
Yeah.
He actually understands the business side of YouTube.
I would have to agree. So for those who don't, Jason Calacanis has been in the business of making videos on the internet for quite some time. And he did, just as Lamar said, break down if you are going to have this type of production, which is moderate, and you're going to be using, you know, this amount for such and such and this amount for such and such, you know, here's how it really breaks down. And there's a few slides where he's just like, you're underwater. If you're trying to do a normal production like this, you know, with such and such amount per hour and hiring these amount of people, that it doesn't work out. This exact slide, you can see that YouTube, you know, is taking a huge portion of a creator of a business creator's expenses because mm-hmm. of how that 45-55 split happens. Basically, what his argument was is that perhaps YouTube should think about a different split, being at 30% to 60%, a lot similar to an app store model, or right. even as low as 10% to 90% if the creator sells the ad themselves. And he did this kind of like ninja, like mind ninja move on the audience where he's like, raise your hand if you have a problem with this. It's like, yeah, exactly. No one is going to raise.
No one's going to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah. There's a room full of content creators that are going to be like, yeah. I don't know. I think YouTube should get more money.
I thought what was interesting too, and Amy, definitely want to get your take. But I thought it was interesting that he mentioned something that amounts to merit pay. And I remember when I was a teacher, that was a very controversial subject, that some teachers should be, you know, have incentives, or if they get better test scores, they should get paid more because they did more work with their students. That's very controversial in education. But on YouTube, I think if someone is investing a lot of money and time and energy, that they should have some kind of incentive because they're bringing in this traffic to this one place called YouTube that is making the bulk of the money anyway. And so I agree with that. I don't know if anybody else felt like, you know, merit pay is a good or bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question would be, how do you feel about specific YouTubers being brought above the tide of other YouTubers mm-hmm. as true favoritism, that YouTube decides, you know, you're really good, we're going to rise you above the rest, we're going to give you better rates, we're going to promote your videos. How do you feel about that, Amy?
I mean, I don't see how it hasn't happened. Honestly, like, I feel like YouTube has definitely had a history of favoritism. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think that the people that are putting excellent content on YouTube certainly deserve to be rewarded for that. This is a business plan for a lot of people. But the thing is, we're also at the mercy of this platform. So they get to decide that they're just going to make the money and have a few employees and hope all goes well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then one thing Jason wasn't mentioning purposely was the MCNs, which, you know, the multi-channel networks. And, you know, if you think about it, if YouTube is taking 45% and you sign with a network yeah. where a lot of these deals are 30%, you know, do the math about how much you're really getting taken for. And so not even factoring that in, it was like really scary to realize how much of your money yeah. could be gone. I do like the networks when they do their job. It is great to have an agent, a manager, or someone who can do something that YouTube can't do for you. They can sell ads directly to your channel. They can get you brand deals. And I couldn't reach Pepsi on my own, but maybe they can. And so there's definitely a benefit to the networks, but I understand why he didn't bring that up. I wanted to ask both of you all, YouTube's argument would be, you know, well, we give unlimited bandwidth. We have to pay for these pipes and everything. Is that realistic, or is that kind of already like a thing they have to pay anyway? Is that kind of a cop out?
I'll let Amy answer first.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it is. And he even makes the point at one time where he's like, well, wouldn't you switch to Twitter or another network if they were offering you more? And a lot, everyone raised their hand. Of course they did. But the reality is, I don't know, that sounds kind of scary to me. I don't know if I would just jump ship all of a sudden, because YouTube, in all of its issues, has still been very reliable as this free place where I can completely express myself for the most part, no questions asked. So I think the change would be kind of scary. And I think they know that a lot of people feel that way and they are not worried about being changing.
The big issue, I mean, I completely agree that the things that YouTube gives you are an amazing streaming experience. Almost no one else can be as reliable. When you click play, the video is going to play because it's coming from an amazing service. They also have the best mobile experience. You can try to do other mobile experiences, but YouTube has a foothold on iOS, on Android, on absolutely everything. They will play on a mobile device. You can't do that with your own hand-built Flash player. You can't do that with a lot of the other commercial Flash players. So that is a huge selling point. The thing
and now
is,
with Chromecast, it's even better.
And with Chromecast, I mean, they're really offering quite a lot to the table if you want to host your videos on YouTube. My argument would be that once you reach that a Google level of service, the cost per that those features and those specific things does kind of outweighs how much they're taking. A 45% cut. Does seem a little bit high to me, even though truly it is, they are the juggernaut. They are the biggest and they do it the best. But when you are 20% of the nation's, bandwidth, I feel like you're operating on such a level that you have so much more efficiency that 45% doesn't quite make sense anymore.
And then when you think about, because he started to talk about, he slipped a little bit and mentioned, 12 months from now, I guess he knows something we don't, like Facebook, Amazon. He mentioned AOL, Yahoo, maybe Netflix. A lot of these
Twitter
are going to jump in this space. And I think they should, because YouTube has never had competition, and competition is going to breed better services. Maybe subscribers will actually get our videos now. But as a creator myself with a fair amount of subscribers, I would still be, if Twitter approached me and say, hey, we got this new platform, you want to jump ship? No, because they have to. YouTube has proved itself over years, and just because they're good at sending 140 characters does not mean that my audience is automatically going to jump over there with me. I could be over there and get a tenth of my views and make less money, just trying to get a better deal. So I would be apprehensive. Amy, you mentioned you wouldn't.
I think we're exactly on the same page. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to get people to move.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
They have the user base. That was another thing I forgot to mention is
huge.
A billion users. Yeah. I mean, one thing on the slide, though.
Whoops.
Yeah. Forgot those guys. One thing on this slide, though, I mean, there's a Redbox to contend with. So I don't know. I kind of want my videos delivered by DVD to your local McDonald's.
Whenever I come out with a new video, I want it sent to Redbox.
I mean, I need it to be like a week or two old news at that point. I think
could you imagine SourceFed on Redbox?
Right.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Actually, now that you say that, I go to friends' houses and all we do is watch cat videos like on a Google TV or whatever. Just a DVD of cat videos, bring that with me on a camping trip. Physical media isn't dead, folks. I'm just got to say. To seriously answer your question, I agree that moving users away from a service is so hard. I mean, it's first mover. Everyone knows YouTube and can use it. Go ahead.
But will these new networks that are going to inevitably pop up? I think Amazon and Yahoo are two of the most potential because Amazon has the space. And Yahoo has a know-how. They used to do video. Do you think they will force YouTube, as Jason predicted, to drop those rates to offer better things for YouTubers? Amy, what do you think? Do you think just their presence would scare YouTube to get their act together?
No, definitely not their presence. I think we're starting to see the effect, like with I know one person for sure, iJustine, is making video content for AOL. So
Yeah.
I think in these situations where these very high level, famous, YouTube stars are kind of going to other networks to create exclusive content over there, then maybe we're going to see YouTube shaking their boots a little bit. But until they're seeing their biggest money makers make this shift, I don't think it's going to be an issue.
Yeah, even with iJustine, it's still posted to the AOL YouTube channel. As well. So it's like, it's
might as well take advantage of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And to answer your question, I mean, I guess I would say it would have to be a huge buy. I mean, it would have to be a huge coup to get like the top 300 channels on YouTube to all post content to AOL or something like that. And then on top of that, for AOL to say the reason they're doing this is because we're only taking 10% of the ad revenue. And so whatever they do, it's practically theirs.
You know, and the thing that Jason did mention is just to conclude this I don't think he considered these big networks like Maker, Machinima, Fullscreen. Those are the top as far as, you know, revenue they're getting and just user base. They can literally, you know, with support, make their own and just take their users and say, hey, we're going to create our own, you know, mini YouTube or whatever. I don't think it'll work, but I think there's definitely a threat there. YouTube let networks come in and separate, but now they're nervous because everybody is segregated. They have no control, and I think they're going to try to wrestle that control back from these networks. And Maker and these companies are much more powerful than we realize.
Now,
I'm interested.
Yeah, not to beat a dead horse, but he also mentioned. What the heck was I going to say? Yeah, let's kill it. Thank you. I think this is a great conversation and very interesting on what's going to happen in the future. But now it's time to thank our second sponsor for the episode,
Our second.
We got two. I know. Thank you so much, sponsors, because you truly do make this show happen. ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network, a VPN that works all over the world with almost any internet connection. You can use ProXPN to surf the web, use your instant messaging. All sorts of programs work with ProXPN. Basically, it creates a secure encrypted tunnel through which all of your online data passes back and forth. Your data comes out on the other end through their servers, which are located worldwide in the US, UK, Asia, and more. It works over OpenVPN or PPTP, you get to choose. So you can protect yourself against things like your own ISP's six strikes rule. Make sure that your internet is truly region free. Never get those stupid, this video is not available in your country messages again. And ProXPN works on your iOS and Android device, allowing you to use your data plan or your public corporate Wi-Fi, or to have absolute, complete, and total privacy on the go. There is no app required when you use a mobile device. So go to proxpn.com/twit for more information and to sign up. ProXPN premium accounts are normally $9.95 for a month or $74.95 for an entire year. But because you're listening to This Week in YouTube, you get a special offer. Use the offer code TWIYT to receive 20% off the lifetime of your account. That is less than $5 a month on the yearly plan. And if you're not satisfied, of course, you can cancel within 7 days for a full refund. So head on over to proxpn.com/twit and use the sign up code TWIYT. And we thank ProXPN for their support of This Week in YouTube. So head on over to proxpn.com/twit. Use offer code TWIYT. So it's time. So I hope that it's time to unopen the package that we packaged up earlier.
Take it out.
And I hope, Amy, you have a YouTube tip maybe to help YouTubers with their social, to see what they can actually pull off and what can they do better.
I need help, girl. I don't.
Hey, I'm here for you, my friend.
I've been writing letters to people, and I don't think it's working, Amy. What can I do?
Oh, that's too bad. Well, I'm going to say something that's probably going to shock you at first, but it kind of goes back to what Calacanis was saying a little bit in his talk at VidCon. You need to have your own website, which we talked about a little bit earlier, but you also need an email list. And I know that sounds so crazy. Like, people don't check their email. People hate email. And that's so not true. It's really the one place where we have someone's undivided attention anymore. So anytime you can get those advocates on your list is so, so important. And I strongly suggest, especially no matter what size channel you have, but especially if you're smaller, is suggesting it in your video and taking advantage of the partner program with YouTube and being able to have annotations that go back to your associated website so that you can actually link on the video to an opt-in form for an email list. Getting people to the website is so important. Getting people on your email list, even more important. It's really the next step to the better way to subscribe. Honestly, the subscribe on YouTube is lacking, in my opinion, at this point. I worry about whether or not people are getting my videos. Not that they're not getting them, but it's really a long stream if you're subscribing to a lot of people. When someone's on an email list, you don't have that problem. If they're checking their email, they're going to get all your videos as long as you keep up with them. So I really, really suggest that. I know that sounds crazy. Do you guys use email at all?
Me and Lamar, I mean, have talked multiple times about how broken the subscribe box is. Mm-hmm. And truly, really? Yeah. A email subscriber is the same as a YouTube subscriber, except they only get your videos. And of course,
do it
correctly. Use MailChimp or something where they can opt out, they can unsubscribe from you.
Yes.
Do it correctly. But I think this is a great tip that I'm surprised we haven't mentioned before. This is
it's great because YouTube has this feature where it can email uploads. I've tested it on multiple channels. I sometimes get the emails, I sometimes don't. So you have to, like you were saying, you have to bring those back in home. Keep going because this is great.
No, absolutely. And what was so crazy is what he was saying about, I think YouTube should be giving us the email addresses of subscribers. And I was like, whoa, because on one hand, I'm like, can we handle that information? But at the same time, we're kind of asking for the same thing. I like the idea of just asking for it. If you're going to ask for a I make the time for it at the end of every video. I don't waste people's time in the beginning. I give them the content right away. And then when they get to the end, if they're still watching, I let them know like, hey, if you like the YouTube thing, do all this fun stuff that they have you do here. But you know, we really have fun at my website. So make sure you sign up for the email. You won't miss anything. And just the exclusive content, giving away free stuff, giving discount codes, you're offering up so many more opportunities to monetize what you're doing. And you're not just depending on YouTube for that. Email opens up so many more doors for you in terms of being able to make money at this.
So let me ask you, how many people can you expect? Like, let's say you have 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. Is it like just standard 1% will probably come over?
Probably. I mean, okay. Like it's people don't like to leave. I think I have about, I have 1% for sure. But the point of that was really that I wasn't asking YouTube for a long time until I finally realized associated website links on annotations is totally going to pay off for email opt-ins. So I started asking more recently. So that number for me isn't exactly relevant, but as he was saying at VidCon, sorry, I keep referring back to that, but you know, if you have 100,000 subscribers and you know, 1% of those is on an email list, that's a lot of people where if you're offering a product or a service, very loyal, if you're offering a product or service in the future, that's a good amount of people to be marketing that to.
Yeah, and sell some t-shirts.
Totally.
Yeah.
T-shirts, great. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And truly, don't ever, I mean, this harkens back to last week's tip by Lamar that says, don't think of yourself as a YouTuber. The only thing that makes you a YouTuber is that you're posting videos on YouTube. And if you own your own audience, you're way better off. I mean, I was telling Lamar earlier, Milby, who is a huge member of the Minecraft community, missed an edit on one video and his entire account, he has probably over 100,000 subscribers. His entire account just got pulled. Every video is gone. He's not making any money anymore.
Oh
yeah. Yeah. And it's because one video he missed an edit and he even says he didn't have any strikes on his account. But it's like, this can happen, folks. It's not unheard
of. That's so scary.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have no one to talk to once that happens.
No, and he's in the middle. He's in the middle. It happened over the weekend, so of course everyone at YouTube was gone. It was automated. He's talking to his network. Luckily, he's large enough to have a network. But if you are not large enough to have your own, you know, network, like this is a nightmare. And own your own audience, folks. It just makes too much sense.
Totally.
Yep. That's something I learned from Scoble a long time ago. I mean, the man takes his audience everywhere. And I always wonder how he did it. It always starts with the site or email. So, Amy, thank you for reiterating that. I'm going to get a MailChimp, I promise.
Perfect.
Good.
Perfect. So, Lamar, what have you been up to this last week on YouTube?
Oh, this last week I have done absolutely nothing because I didn't have a voice. So today I've managed to throw out a video. I was I never do unboxings, but there was this crazy laptop that I showcased. This is Acer R7, which is kind of a weird tablet, easel, crazy kind of laptop. So I talked about that, and then I talked about having the audience help me build a website because I'm going to use Squarespace. Not a sponsor for this.
Right.
It was sponsored for that video, but I really need their help. And because, you know, if I crowdsource it, it'll come out to be a much better site than I could ever make.
I completely agree.
That's what I'm working on. Yeah, look at that crazy thing.
That's insane.
I'm using Google Glass right now, by the way.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite part of that video. I'm like, he's using glass.
What?
Yeah, I didn't think to move the lights to the side, so it's like it's all...
It's like J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, yeah.
Any lens flare is J.J. Abrams. Just want to let everyone know that, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't realize that's afterwards.
That's cool. It looks great. Looks great. Very cool. Yeah, well,
so, what about you?
This last week, I have also been trying to put my life back together ever since vacation and my family came in. Today, I was hoping to get it up before the show so I could say, yeah, I uploaded a video. I did a Let's Play of Papers, Please, which is a dystopian paper-pushing game. Yeah, it sounds stupid, and it's actually kind of fun. And it's anyway, the first episode's going up later today, and then I'm also going to record a vlog. I found out that I've been using Google Voice for a long time, but there was a glitch where it about 2 years ago is recording those to my Verizon mailbox, and now that mailbox is full, and I haven't listened to those phone messages in 2 years. So it's kind of like a little time capsule back to when I was living in Austin, Texas, back when I was working for a different guy. And so I'm going to do a vlog where we listen to those voice messages together for the first time. They're all brand new to me because it's been so long. So that's also going up later this week. Amy, what have you been up to in the past week, or what can we look forward to in the future?
Actually, my content on Savvy Sexy Social was so fun last week because I did a couple of videos at VidCon. So I do 3 videos a week, Savvy Tuesday, Sexy Wednesday, and Social Thursday. So for Savvy Tuesday, like we were talking about, we did DSLR tips. And Sexy Wednesday was an interview with Taco Bell because they definitely are repping the YouTube space. So I wanted to talk to them about their social media strategy. So definitely some good stuff from last week. And of course, more content this week. Same schedule.
Cool. Did you get to try the waffle taco?
No, I didn't.
I just heard about this today. I think it's not breaking news. It's a waffle taco.
I think I saw that on SourceFed or something, and I totally just didn't watch it.
It looks a little like a lot of calories in the face. I'm just not even going to hear it.
I just might be sitting in a certain room back here for a while if I have that. And I'm not saying what room is back there.
This is a really creepy video of a guy eating his waffle taco.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's actual waffles.
It's an actual waffle taco.
Oh.
My gosh.
I can see him getting fatter.
Yeah. No, he's growing before our eyes.
Let's just break down the shot, by the way,
because, yeah, he's eating in a car. He's got a baby carriage behind him. It looks like maybe even a tiny pool back there. Blared out. Anyway, That has been this episode of This Week in YouTube.
Yes, Amy,
thank you so much for joining the show. It was an absolute pleasure to have you.
Definitely.
Let people know, where can they find you? Where's your YouTube and your Twitter and everything? Pimp whatever you want.
I love to tweet at Schmatastic and at Savvy Sexy Social. SavvySexySocial.com. You can find all my videos and my email opt-in form. And if you want to find out more about video content marketing for your brand, I'm the president of Vlog Boss Studios. You can check out vlogboss.com.
Perfect.
Wow.
This has been This Week in YouTube. You can find us on the web at twit.tv/YT. There you will find links to subscribe either in your favorite podcatcher. We have tons and tons of versions. Or, of course, on YouTube. We are this youtube.com/thisweekyt or TWIYT. Either of those will land you on our channel. And make sure you subscribe. If you want to watch the show live, feel free to join us every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. And I swear the next time that I email my guests, I will say that correctly. You can join the chat room. It is great to have you here. So thank you for everyone who watched this week of This Week in YouTube. We will see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.